5:30, so I will call our February 3rd, 2025 Madison Plan Commission meeting to order. And Jesse, will you share the technical information with us?
All right, welcome to our virtual Plan Commission meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak or ask questions. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do the best to call on committee members in the order in which your hand is raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members in the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After all register and speak, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the commission, please send it to the email list in today's agenda. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thanks. All right. Our first order of business is our time for a public comment on items not on the agenda. Megan, are there any registrants for that item?
There is no one registered for that item.
Okay. All right. We will go next to communications, disclosures, and recusals. Do we have any disclosures or recusals from the commission for any items on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we will move forward to the minutes of the January 13th, 2025 meeting, which have been provided to you. Are there any additions or corrections from the commissioners to the minutes from our last meeting? And seeing none, is there a motion to approve the January 13th minutes? Alder Uguir, thank you. Is there a second? Commissioner Heck, thank you. Any discussion on the motion? All right. Any objection to unanimous consent for approving our last meeting's minutes? All right. We will record them as approved. Thanks. All right. Our schedule of meetings is our next item. We have our next meeting will be our special in-person meeting next Thursday, the 13th at 5 p.m. And we are on our agenda. We're in room 215 of the Madison Municipal Building on Martin Luther King Boulevard, and we'll see everybody there. And then our next regular Monday meetings are Monday, February 17th. Then March 3rd and March 17th, all virtual at 5:30. All right. All right, we will move to our consent agenda. And as you know, it's the custom of the Plan Commission to remove from the agenda items on which staff believes an application has been sufficiently reviewed to support approval with all the conditions placed on it by the various city departments, and in which the applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who have registered to speak in opposition to those items. So we have three items proposed for our consent agenda tonight, which are item two, which falls under routine business, and then items four and five under the public hearings development related requests. Of those items, are there any requests from the commission for separation of those items from a consent agenda? Is everybody okay including them in consent? All right. Seeing no hands, I will read out the items for consent agenda. Item two is Legistar 86814, vacating and discontinuing portions of Braxton Place Public Street right-of-way within the Triangle Plat to allow the said lands to be included in the replatting parts of Lot 1 and 2 of CSM number 1596. This is being located in part of the northeast, 1/4 of the southwest, 1/4 of Section 23, Township 7 North, Range 9 East in the city of Madison, Dane County, Wisconsin, and it's in Alder District 13. Item 4 is a public hearing item, Legistar number 86522, relating to 7869 Big Sky Drive, which is in District 9, consideration of a conditional use in the Commercial Center District for an auto body shop. And then item 5 is Legistar number 86521, which relates to 5001, 5005, and 5013 Femright Drive in the Alder District 16. And this is a demolition permit to demolish a storage building and two single-family residences on these addresses. All right, I will open the public hearing and close the public hearing on these items, and we'll move to a vote on the consent agenda. Do I have a motion and a second? Alder Duncan, thank you. Commissioner Solheim, thank you for seconding. Is there any objection to unanimous consent for the items on our consent agenda? All right, seeing none, we will record that as passed unanimously. Thank you. And now we will move to our new business, which is item 86656, accepting the report titled 2025 Progress Update, City of Madison Comprehensive Plan. And we have Brian Grady and Brianna Collins from city staff to lead us through this item. So welcome, guys.
Thank you. I'll start off. So yeah, I'm Brian Grady, soil planner in the planning division, joined here my colleague Brianna Collins. And we are, I guess, what, 2/7 of a planning division staff team that works on this covers a plan progress update, really on behalf of, it's a citywide effort, behalf of a kind of interagency initiative that we have here. And I'll share some slides here to start us off, and then turn over to Brianna. And this is our fifth edition of the progress update. But before we jump into that, I just wanted to provide a little bit of background on the comp plan and that kind of and which forms a basis for reporting back to the community on this. And overall, the Plan Commission, you all are probably more so working with like the growth framework portion of the comprehensive plan. So again, I want to provide that foundation for the other elements that are in there. So I'll share my screen here. 1 second. Hopefully folks are seeing this here. Myself, Brianna, presenting on the latest progress update. Overall, our comprehensive plan for the city was the current comprehensive plan for the city was adopted in September of 2018. This was our second comprehensive plan under the state's state law that requires comprehensive plans for municipalities that do certain functions. You have to have a comprehensive plan in place. It has to meet the requirements of that state statute that kind of outlines what topics must be covered and other things that the plan must include. So this is our second plan adopted under that state law. The process to create it occurred during 2016, 2017 primarily, then into 2018. We have made some updates to the comprehensive plan. We did, in 2023, we revisited, we revised some parts of the growth framework in the generalized future land use map to kind of pull in some of the recently adopted subarea plans to update that GFLU map in the document. We also did a call to the community to see if they had any proposed suggested changes to it. So we did that in 2023, which touched on the growth framework primarily. And then in just a few months ago, we updated the parts of the comp plan to reflect the recently adopted Northeast Area Plan and West Area Plan. But otherwise, the comprehensive plan is largely as it is, as it was adopted back in 2018. During the process to develop the plan, really involved a lot of extensive public engagement. Over the course of about 18 months, we used many different public engagement techniques to get feedback to guide the plan. So basically, the plan translates feedback from the community into policies and actions that the city and community partners will work on going forward. So try to get feedback from a wide cross-section of the community during that Imagine Madison process. Here we're highlighting some of the resident panels that that we worked with during that process, basically sustained focus groups that represented different segments of the community that really helped to provide some feedback. And again, making sure that we got a wide cross-section of feedback to inform the plan's recommendations. Overall, the comprehensive plan is now organized by seven elements. When we adopted the comp plan back in 2018, we actually had the first six elements listed here. But in 2023, we did add in the health and safety element, and that was done to better represent more of the city's department's work, kind of a fuller scope of what the city does to try to represent that. Overall, the comprehensive plan is used to guide decision-making and investment, so like for work planning and budget requests. And so we wanted to, so right now for all capital budget requests at the city of Madison, they are tied back to the different strategies and elements of the comprehensive plan. And the health and safety allowed us to have represent more of the work of the city for folks tying back their budget requests. Overall, it is used by agencies for work planning. Our plan's getting a little older at this point here, but still guides a lot of our work. We try to center all of the recommendations and continue to work on all of these. The big part of it, and the big part that the Plan Commission is involved in, is the part where the comp plan helps guide private sector development, again through that growth framework, which has the kind of the GFLU map categories and other kind of standards or description of what type of density would go in different areas. And so the general feature land use map in that growth framework section helps guide development and is, you know, used on a regular basis for that aspect. But tonight we're focusing more on the seven elements and less on the growth framework section of the plan. The plan structure here, again, seven elements, and those are major topic areas, basically. To come up with these seven elements, we basically were kind of looking at what the state law requires, the topics that we must cover in the comp plan under state law, but also categorizing public feedback and what the public wanted to see progress on. And so we've organized it by these seven elements. For each element, we have two goal statements, basic statements of what we want to achieve over the long term within each of those elements. We have 59 strategies, and these are general approaches to achieve the goals, the higher level goals. And I'll mention that in the comprehensive plan, the 59 strategies are generally within each element. They're generally ordered in priority order based on public feedback. So the ones that are closer to one are higher priority. The ones that are later, a little bit less priority for those. And then within each strategy, within each general approach, there's 209 actions. So about two or three, sometimes four actions. And those are ways that we would basically implement things, kind of taking that general approach and bring it down a more level of specificity, say, okay, we will do this, we'll continue this, we're going to explore this. So that's kind of the overall plan structure. Here's an example of what I just described. So community input, we heard a lot of feedback about the need to provide more affordable housing. That feedback continues today. This topic is covered within the neighbors and housing element. One of the two goals that applies to this is Madison will have a full range of quality and affordable housing opportunities throughout the city. Strategy addressing this feedback is integrate lower priced housing, including subsidized housing into complete neighborhoods. That's the general approach. And then one of the actions is continue allocating money to the city's affordable housing fund. And so again, with the feedback that we received, in some cases we are continuing, we want to continue things that we're already doing. If feedback was hitting on things the city was already doing, we wanted to elevate that, we wanted to note that. In some cases, it's new actions that the city would be exploring, taking on over the years. And then overall, we hope that we're bringing more affordable housing, which has obviously been a major emphasis of the city. During the comp plan, we were kind of doing steps one and two of this feedback loop shown here. with these progress updates, our fifth one now, we're kind of doing steps three and four of a larger feedback loop. So during the planning process back in 2017, 2018, we got feedback from the community, and folks in the community really wanted to kind of understand, like, okay, you've received my feedback, like, how will it show up in the plan? And so we did, through the planning process, try to document, illustrate for folks that here was the feedback and here's where it's showing up in different parts of the plan. So we tried to make note of that so that people could see that their investment of time was worthwhile in the process. With these progress updates, we're, kind of completing the larger loop. And so overall, step three, the city is taking action. The city and partners are taking action over the years on the plan's recommendations. And so now we're reporting back to the community on what we've been doing, so people can take their feedback, see that it was in the plan, and then also now they can see what was actually came of it. And that was a question we got a lot during the planning process. Like, how will I know that our feedback actually, caused change, impacted things to occur in the city? I'm going to turn over to Brianna here in 1 second. I will note that we were at the city's transportation commission about 2 weeks ago with this report. TC reviewed it, and they did recommend acceptance of the report, which we'll be asking the plan commission for as well. This will go to the common council next. They did include in their motion three what we call technical changes. And so when we get to that land use transportation section that Brianna goes through there, we can just note those three items that basically was an error on our part, on staff's part. We didn't update a few things that a colleague in a different department had noted. So that's included in the TC motion. Appreciate the plan commission including that in your motion as well. That would go to the common council. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brianna to take it over from here.
Thank you, Brian. Let me see. Alrighty, so I should be sharing my screen, and thank you, Brian, for a lot of background on the progress update. So we're reviewing the 2025 progress update. Previously, we were doing it every year. This round is biannually, so this is our fifth annual progress update. And if you view those links, those do direct you to our previous editions of the progress update. So, but tonight, we're focusing on the 2025. Let's see. There we go. So our first one being land use and transportation, the spotlight being BRT, which was huge this year for Madison, or really last year for Madison. I'll briefly walk through the draft report. Each of these elements include a spotlight, such as the one on your screen. But for this year is for LUT, or Land Use and Transportation's BRT. So this spotlight details the construction of bus rapid transit. The BRT uses larger buses and dedicated lanes and a new fare collection system to move riders more quickly and efficiently through the community. The spotlight also details about the federal funds used to pay for the project and more about the routes A and B, which serve as the backbone for the Metro Transit system. And as part of this progress update, we also include other highlights, typically 6 to 8. For example, for land use and transportation, we have 7 highlights, those being redesign and reconstruction of streets like Atwood Avenue, Wilson Street, and Pleasant View Road. These reconstructions enhance safety for pedestrians, cyclists, and also transit riders. Another highlight being the issuing of building permits, which brought 5,639 housing units, which is a lot of housing units, between the years of 2023 and 2024. And then also the newly constructed Autumn Ridge Path, which is between the Commercial Avenue and Milwaukee Street. So the chapter, of course, includes some other highlights, but these being some of those. We also include a page that tracks the status of recommendations, similar to what Brian was describing. We won't get covering this, but this also includes some of the edits that Brian mentioned. We do mark the status, lead agencies, and then also the strategy and actions that are included in the comp plan. Moving on to neighborhood and housing, the spotlight being the redevelopment of the Triangle. So the Bayview Foundation redeveloped its residential buildings into 130 colorful homes. You probably have seen them at the corner. The redevelopment includes a community center, green space, and public arts. There is also more to come as CDA has plans to improve and replace some of the outdated public housing in this area, which will include 800 new mixed-income apartments, which will result in over 1,200 total homes. As far as additional highlights as part of the neighborhood and housing, there were solar panels installed on several buildings at the CDA's Truax Public Housing Campus. Also, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right because I haven't quite visited, grocery, which opened on East Washington Avenue. And that grocery store offers an array of diverse products and was partially funded by the city's commercial ownership assistance program and grant funds that helped preserve housing opportunities for low-income residents at Tree Lane and Rethke Terrace Apartments. Moving to you, economy and opportunity. So a lot doing the spotlight being the childcare option. This one is Red Caboose Child Care Center, which opened a larger facility using no interest loan from CDD, which also helps offer more opportunities for childcare options for folks and residents in the Madison community. Other highlights include the business loan program. So the city established a small cap TIF increment financing or TIF business loan program for small size businesses. And this loan helped provide smart cleaning solutions to support construction of their new facility on the southeast side. And these loans are forgivable. Also, the city continues to redevelop brownfield sites, and namely the this helped facilitate the Huxley Yards redevelopment on the north side and is also supporting assessment and cleanup activities at the former All Metals recycling site on the south side. And the last highlight of economy and opportunity, or last but not least, is that Madison celebrated 50 years of affirmative action with networking for the Aspire interns. And so this event included city officials, community leaders, and also former and current Aspire interns. Moving on to our culture and character chapter, the highlight being Flock to State. So community had interest in shifting more of the state's street into a gathering space. So this led to an experiment on the blocks 400 and 600 blocks of State Street. The experiment was branded Flock to State, and as it's Madison's official bird, so to speak, is the plastic Think Flamingo. And maybe some of you guys volunteered, but there was over 600 volunteers that helped paint these streets to really make it bright and not drivable for the most part. And so that is a very family-friendly activity. And there was also musical performances, and that experiment lasted on for a couple months after. Some other highlights from the culture and character chapter is Madison is Music, which is a summer concert series that brought live music to Francis Street Plaza along State Street. And it was a partnership between the Greater Madison Music City and just offered a stage for Madison's emerging talents. There was also a mural at the Employment Center. This was inspired by Bayview residents reflecting on the meaning of home and their contributions to the community. And lastly, we added a landmark designation to the Catherine Clarenbach House, which was designated as Madison's 183rd landmark. So if you are happening to go on Eaton Ridge, you might see it on the west side. For green and resilience, the Lake Monona Waterfront Master Plan was a plan to improve 1.7 miles of Lake Monona shoreline between downtown and Olin Park. Just a lot of public space and park. This was a collaboration between the city and nonprofit groups like Madison's Lake Wake Partners. So this plan sets out to improve access to lake, improve water quality, and also highlights Ho-Chunk Nation's cultural history. So this is just creating a destination for all Mazatlan residents and visitors. And there's also was a challenge as a part of this. And there's a lot of proposals that were reviewed, and they ended up going with a proposal that was looking at heavily relying on federal, state, and private funding. This will likely take decades, but the master plan is already helped guiding the reconstruction of John Nolan Drive. Some highlights that are also included in the Green and Resilient is the sustainability plan, which was adopted. This plan includes a lot of goals and actions to reduce the impacts of climate. There was additions to Rinnabon Park and Elver Park, which added accessible playgrounds. And so some of those include sign language, musical notes, and braille communications boards. And the MADCAP, or Madison Customer Assistance Program, reduced the cost for a lot of customers and providing discounts on their billing. Effective government and include some a highlight of the regional housing strategy. So this included 70 public, private, and nonprofit stakeholders, including the city of Madison, which took aim to grapple with the housing effects or issues that impact a lot of communities across Madison. So these folks worked together to review data and factors that were driving the housing challenges that we're experiencing. And with over 6,000 responses to community feedback, the group work ended up in a strategic action plan. And so a lot of effective government, so to speak, to make that plan happen. Some other highlights for effective government chapter includes the West and Northeast area plan process. These processes worked a lot of stakeholders and also city agencies to get those adopted. These include open houses and other public meetings that included other city agencies and alders to get residents involved. There is also a disability summit that was provided by the Department of Civil Rights, and that was online and had a lot of folks to talk about services and workspaces to mitigate the potential barriers for the disabled community. And of course, and this is kind of a product of that, expanding access to BCC meetings. So establish ways to follow common council boards and meetings commissions and having those more publicly viewed on television, Apple TV, Roku streaming applications, and just making it more accessible to folks. And last but not least, we are on our last chapter, which is health and safety, the spotlight being the respiratory illness dashboard. So the Public Health Madison and Dane County created an extensive respiratory illness dashboard. And this is in partnership with a lot of Madison entities. One of the most visited web pages included data that tracked COVID-19, the flu, RSV, and other respiratory illnesses. The dashboard combines data from clinics, emergency departments, wastewater, schools, hospitals, to name a few. So each week, the data is updated and added to the dashboard, and it's something that the community can keep track of if they would like to. And it's just helped guide development of other dashboards at the state level. You can see the dashboard here. And some highlights is the LGBTQ plus, forget the G in there, but the Wellness Resource Guide. This guide describes and provides information for mental health providers and other resources for communities. The CARES program also expanded from 2 teams to 3 teams. And this also just increases the program's ability to respond to nonviolent behavioral health emergencies. And the Vision Zero funding received $6.3 million in federal funding to help improve streets and roads for all. And so this grant was used and helped Madison was one of 48 communities to receive the funding. And so these highlights were brought to you by us, but also a lot of city agencies. We worked with others to get these highlights and include them from a variety of other city agencies and staff to we even asked them, like, hey, is there anything that we're missing to add to the spotlights and highlights that you're seeing here? So with that, I will end my presentation.
And so, yeah, happy to take any questions you all might have, any other comments, and then would like to note these three technical changes. If we can cover that now or whenever the commission's ready, we can note those three items.
Would it be okay, Chair, if I just added a couple quick things to the great presentation that Brian and Brianna gave?
Please.
So, you know, Brian and Brianna did a great job of noting that this update is based on the comprehensive plan and sourcing from the work of all city agencies and many stakeholders as well. So I did just want to flag that we do anticipate that our division's annual report will be prepared soon, which will also be an opportunity for us to dig in a little bit more to some of the specifics of what we've been doing, the planning division has been doing, including the work of the Plan Commission. But one thing I did want to call attention to that Brianna mentioned in the land use and transportation section was that note about the number of building permits that were issued between 2023 and 2024. Over 5,600 building permits for new homes in Madison. And I know it goes without saying that probably most of those projects were first reviewed by the Plan Commission. So thanks to you all for the big lift and the important work that you're doing as part of helping us implement the comp plan. That represents about 90% of those new homes were in areas that are identified as infill areas. So essentially, you know, internal to the Beltline and the interstate on the east side. This is an important metric because our comp plan, in addition to identifying that future land use kind of framework for all of the city, also helps us to identify areas where we're prioritizing that growth, which Brian and Brianna both mentioned. So that's a really important achievement for this area and certainly helps us to advance many of the interrelated goals of the comprehensive plan. A couple things that I wanted to mention process-wise, Brian mentioned at the beginning about the sort of history of the comprehensive plan from 2018 to 2023. The comprehensive plan was also updated in 2024, right at the end of 2024, as a result of the approval of the West and Northeast area plans. This is something that's new and different from previous sub-area planning work that we have done, where sub-area plans, neighborhood plans, neighborhood development plans were adopted as supplements to our comprehensive plan. These area plans are actually kind of adopted directly into our comprehensive plan by making any changes to the comprehensive plan's generalized future land use map that may come out of those planning processes. So I think that's just something really important to note that in the future, as you're reviewing projects that are in those areas, the comprehensive plan really does integrate any of those planning decisions that we've made as part of those processes. And then the last thing I'll just note is that we're also already gearing up for the next comp plan update. Brian and his team are working to start to frame out what that process will look like. And we expect that in 20s, you know, we may have some things to include in our budget that will be underway here in the near term for 2026, but certainly we'll be underway with that work in 2027 and 2028. So we'll have more updates for you in the future about what that process will entail.
Thanks, Megan. I know you guys have questions because I saw your hands go up before. I'll do your gear.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, Megan answered part of the question I had, which was this process for integrating the area plans into the comprehensive plan. You mentioned the changes in the GFLU map. Are there other tables, maps, or so forth that are coming out of the area plans that are informing other parts of the comprehensive plan?
I don't have the, I think the two main things are the GFLU map, where we're updating the comp plan GFLU map to reflect the map that comes out of the area plan for that geography. We've also have updated like the PED, the map that has like all of our PED bike recommendations. We basically want these to be in sync. And so when the West Area Plan, for example, kind of took the city's base kind of planned PED bike infrastructure recommendations, where we made changes to that through the West Area Plan, we have now reflected that into the comprehensive plans map as well, other city mapping of that topic. And there's probably a couple more. I don't have off the top of my head, but those are the two main things where, again, we want to keep things in sync so you don't see one map for the West Area Plan and one map for the comp plan and see different things. We want to make that have that be the exact same thing, make it more simple for all of us, including resident stakeholders, to follow along.
Thank you.
Commissioner Heck.
excuse me. Thank you. Megan, this first question is probably for you. Can you describe a little bit more about what happens in 2028 when the comp plan is 10 years old? You mentioned doing an update in 27, 28. And do we start from scratch at the end of 2028? Or how do you envision the process?
I'm happy to have Brian jump in here, too, because his team leads this work for us. But that's actually something that we're working through right now. We've identified that there could be different ways that we could go with this planning process. But ultimately, we will know what our intended goal is at the outset in, you know, late 26, 27, when we start that process. If we want to have a more holistic refresh of our comp plan, or if what we will be doing is focusing more on updates to make sure that the strategies and actions are relevant, to make sure that our GFLU map continues to be relevant, that kind of thing. So we'll be putting together a kind of a project charter, if you will, that will help us chart what that end product is that we expect.
Thanks, that's helpful. And then just a question about one of the land use and transportation goals and strategies. Let me make sure I have the right number here. The strategy 7, an action D, develop and implement a park and ride plan to increase accessibility to downtown and the UW-Madison campus. And it says, you know, planning and Metro are responsible, and that hasn't been started yet. And the reason I'm asking about it is because at first I thought, oh, well, that's a transportation thing. But more and more, as we approve platting of large subdivisions in the outer areas and large apartment buildings that don't have access to Metro, I think a lot of us are a little squeamish about that. So I'm just curious if you envision that. I don't know, Brian or Megan or Brianna, if you know about, is there a plan to work on that?
That's a great question. I'll defer to Brian on that one, if you have any insights.
Yeah, let me just give me one second here just to pull up the text of that. And this one, yes, one second here. 7D. So I'm just going to bear with me. I'm going to read the action text here, provide a little more context. Bear with me,
Thanks.
Though. So downtown can be challenging for low-income families to visit due to expensive parking. While selectively lowering parking costs or subsidizing parking may not be feasible or desirable, there are other options available to make downtown more easily accessible. For instance, expanding park and ride options can help people avoid the high cost of downtown parking and boost Metro ridership. The city should work with the Wisconsin DOT on developing and implementing a park and ride plan The park and ride planning should include options for park and bike, increasing park and ride options, also allows more people to access downtown on the campus without increasing traffic on the isthmus. Substantial increases in parking downtown may create diminishing returns as there are no plans to increase road capacity leading to downtown on roads that are already congested during peak travel time. So that was the idea. I don't have the specifics of this topic. I don't think we have started it. This made me think that we don't do as a city. You know, some other communities, like I've been to Grand Rapids to experience their BRT system, and they do have park and ride larger lots at the endpoints of their system. We haven't prioritize that, because I know sometimes people feel that if we have good metro service, you want to have actually more intensive land use and not parking lots. So I'm not the expert on this one. Yeah, I would say that we have not started it, and that'll be probably a topic for community conversation going forward, whether it's the Plan Commission, other commissions, the Common Council. But yeah, we just haven't gone that route so far.
Thanks. I apologize. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I was just curious if you knew anything about it. And I'm hoping that policymakers and Plan Commission and other and TC and other folks can keep this in mind as we go into the next few years. Because as I said, we have to make decisions about these large population areas that don't have decent access to transit. So I'll keep my fingers crossed.
And it's something that we can follow up with TE to ask a little bit more about in terms of the context of this discussion. Unfortunately, Commissioner McCahill isn't here tonight, who also serves on the Transportation Commission. But I know Commissioner Wesniewski was recently on the Transportation Commission. If you have any perspectives about discussions on this topic during your time. Not to put you on the spot now. Clearly, this is something I'm coming up to speed on, Commissioner Heck.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this particular one, but okay. There was always a conversation about any time, you know, new traffic patterns and new developments were going and how it connects to transit and everything like that. So specifically to what Commissioner Heck is speaking about, I don't think so, but it is interwoven in all the conversations about how do we make better choices and where these things are going.
That makes
sense. It's a great question that we can also consider, you know, looking into more as part of a future discussion topic for the Plan Commission, seeing if other agencies could come and help us answer these questions. But the point is well taken. And I know that in talking with folks about the recent Metro redesign, there was definitely a recognition that we need to be mindful about the way that we're implementing our future land use plans and our ability to serve those areas, particularly with transit, but same is true for all of our various city services. We are doing some kind of long-range facility planning too, which I don't know if it gets to the level of park and ride facilities to support Metro, but that's another area where we could inquire about this interconnectivity.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Commissioner Solheim.
Thank you. Thank you for the great presentation. I know this isn't fully approved yet, but I just wanted to get a sense of how you distribute this. Obviously, there are so many people involved in the various area plans and updates and just how to get the word out, because I think this is such a great tool for showing progress on plans where so many people spend time working on them.
Yeah, thanks for asking. Our overall audience for this report are our residents, you know, primarily folks that provide input, but also other folks that may be new to the city or were not aware of the comp plan process as was going on. And so we do distribute this report to the resident panel facilitators that we worked with back in 2017 and 2018. We have this report translated into Spanish and Hmong before we distribute it to those resident panel facilitators, hoping that they then pass on to other folks that were in those sustained focus groups. We also do have an email list for purpose of plan activities, and so we forward it to that email list. We'll do a press release and hope to get you know, some media coverage or any sort of communication coverage via that route. And we also just share it as well with city staff to kind of make sure people are aware of the comprehensive plan and to show all the great work that different departments are doing. But yeah, it is a little tough to share this with such a wide audience of folks, but we do want to get it back in the hands of folks, primarily that provide the feedback to inform the plan.
And I would just add, you know, after the report is finalized and accepted by council, would certainly welcome the plan commissioners, if there are folks that you think that this could be shared with, welcome that feedback, and also welcome your passing it along to organizations that you are also, you know, a member of or participate on boards, committees, et cetera, that you think might be interested in seeing this information.
I also mentioned that we are, along with reporting out, we're also helping to build a good repository of what we have done as a community over the course of the last 7-8 years. And so this will be very helpful in doing that next comp plan update to show what's been done, what hasn't been done. So we're kind of building that base of information to kind of take that next step.
Thanks. Brian or Brianna, I'm curious if you guys have a sense of initial feedback on that State Street, Flock to State Street project, if that's something that was well received and regarded as a success, or is it kind of a, maybe we won't do that more going forward?
I'm not sure, yeah. Megan.
Yeah, so the group that led this effort, Dan and Rebecca, who do a lot of work with the downtown planning efforts, have been working on a report that will eventually go back to the council about what we learned from the first year. I know there was a lot of experimentation in the first year, both in terms of how we actually physically placed objects and were able to manage the space over time, and also just kind of understanding how people used the space. A couple highlights of what they've been hearing so far were presented to the DCC a few weeks ago. I know that folks really enjoyed the kickoff day that Brianna mentioned, having that level of community engagement and energy and excitement on the street. People loved a lot. I think folks generally wished that there had been more programming as part of the experiment, to help make it feel more lively and really draw them into the space. But in general, people enjoyed the ability to use the street and feel a little bit more free and safe from interactions with cars in particular. In terms of the businesses, I think there were some mixed responses about whether the closure, you know, they noticed a marked increase or impact at all in foot traffic and sales. We also know that one of the things that we heard quite regularly was that if we continue the experiment, we need to figure out some better solutions to help us mitigate bike and pedestrian conflicts, kind of who has priority, what is the space being used for when it's not open for vehicular access. So we're working right now to wrap up that report and deliver it to council, including what some potential modifications might be to the approach to the experiment if we're going to continue it in the future.
Thanks, Megan.
You're welcome.
Alder Uyghur.
One more question, and thank you. I really appreciated the, I guess I would call them tables or spreadsheets that laid out the goals and strategies and action items, because it occurs to me those are excellent tools for holding ourselves, the BCCs, as well as the various staff divisions, for implementing these things. And I was just wondering if you'd talk a little bit more about that process. I mean, do individual departments and divisions and so forth know that they are the lead for those elements? And is that how they periodically report on that? I'd just be interested in how that accountability process works.
Sure, yeah. And so when we in those tables, and I'll just pull this up while I'm talking, just for folks' benefit. Yeah, so we have, the goals, the strategies, action, then the lead agency and the status. So for the lead agencies, those agencies were identified when we, as part of the adopted 2018 comprehensive plan. The lead agencies have evolved with each of these reports that we've done. The lead agency can evolve over time. Things change. And so with each report that we do, we basically we present to all state departments, say we're doing this report, provide any updates you might have, both for the highlights, the things we're highlighting as terms of progress, but also up to the lead agency and the status. And so we're getting feedback from all departments there. And so that does change, and it is level of accountability. Certainly it's communication as to who's doing what, but also a level of accountability there by knowing which agencies are the lead agencies. And then for the status, that can change as well. And so I'll note that for things that are listed as ongoing, those are generally things that we don't think have like a clear completion point. And so like here, an example, one item in this section here is use the city's racial equity and social justice initiative, RESJ initiative, tools to inform major transportation projects. And so we think we'll probably keep using equity as a lens in terms of what projects we're funding within the city. And so that's just going to be listed as an ongoing thing. It's probably not going to have a completion point. Other things that we think might have a clear completion point are either listed as not started, in progress, or complete. And so, again, these are revisited with feedback from all departments to figure out what the status might be for each of these. And so, yeah, all this does evolve kind of over the years. So this is a little bit subjective, we found. It's not quite always easy to pin down if something is, complete or not, because the different things are evolving, but we do our best to get the feedback from departments. And again, it's kind of a communication tool, but also a little bit of an accountability tool.
I think the other piece of this that I, especially as someone who has recently come into the city as an organization, I've shared with Brian and others on the team that I appreciate the level of utilization of the comprehensive plan across city agencies. It's a really impressive level of awareness and understanding of what the comprehensive plan is and utilization of it, particularly in the budget and work plan functions of all city agencies, as Brian mentioned at the beginning. The other piece of developing this report that I think is helpful to your question about how we make sure that the accountability stays top of mind is that Brian and Brianna presented about putting this report together to the entire management team. So that's all the sort of directors and assistant directors of the city back at the end of last year, which is a prompt for them to start thinking about kind of what were their agencies responsible for and what has been done in this case in the last 2 years, but previously in the last year as well. So it helps keep it fresh for everyone too. So.
Thank you.
It's a good discussion. I think our business item is a motion to accept the report. So I don't know if we're ready to move to that or if there are other thoughts on the field.
I'm happy to move to accept.
Thank you. Is there a second? Alder Duncan, thank you.
And if I can jump in here, Chair, real briefly.
Please. Thanks, Brian. That's right. We had other pending things. Good.
The TCA action isn't legislated yet, but I know that they're working on it. And so the three technical changes. Apologies, we just oversight on our part, working with many different departments. I'm just going to pull up the. If folks have the report handy, I won't pull it up, but basically in the land use transportation section for action 1C, it's prioritize improved service for transit-dependent populations when integrating Madison Metro routes and schedules with BRT. So for 1C, adding a lead agency of Madison DOT. So it'll be Metro and Madison DOT for 1C. And then moving down to the next page, it's 9C. So that's use technology to enhance parking management systems. We would remove traffic engineering from 9C. That's just a reflection of what departments are kind of taking things on or not. And then for 9D, which is evaluate emerging technologies for use in bridging first mile, last mile gaps in the transit system, we would add Madison DOT to a lead agency. So 9D, you'd add Madison DOT to the lead agency. Again, mistake on our part, we just missed it. Feedback from a colleague. But yeah, I would love to include that in the motion.
Alderfield, I'm getting a thumbs up from Alderfield that we would amend the initial motion to reflect those changes. And Alder Duncan, are you cool with that too? All right. Very good. Any other discussion? All right. Any objection to unanimous approval for the motion to accept the report? And seeing none, we will record it that way. So thank you. Thanks for the good presentation and discussion. Very helpful.
Yeah, thanks to Brian and Brianna for leading this for the city as well.
All right. We are to the business by members item on our agenda. Are there any, does anyone have any business by members items? All right. And seeing none, we'll go to the secretary's report.
All right. After a first few agendas that were relatively light, I think compared to your normal workload, you can see that we're getting back into the queue of longer upcoming matters list. So I won't read those off to you other than to just note a couple things that are coming up. As the chair mentioned, next week we have our special meeting. We're working to finalize that agenda and get that out to you in the next few days. One of the things that I wanted to call your attention to is that we'll be looking at your policies and procedures manual. As Emily came on board, she had made some observations about some of the standing items on our agenda and the desire to maybe look at the order of some of those things in the future, just to help condense our agendas a bit. So as we did that work, of course, we dug into the policies and procedures manual and recognized that there were a number of opportunities for us to update the rest of the manual as well to better reflect our current practices, in some cases, some changes to MGO or state law, and of course, as we were just discussing with the comp plan, to better reflect the relationship between the area plans and the comp plan in the section that guides our decision making. So want to give you a heads up, we'll be sharing a draft with you ahead of that special meeting, but that is something that we anticipate presenting to you and potentially taking action on at your meeting next week if you're amenable to those changes. We also, looking ahead to the meeting on February 17th, we'll be discussing the two sort of related ordinance changes that were part of the kind of housing initiatives that the mayor announced at the end of the year, or I'm sorry, in January. Those include a number of technical changes to the zoning code related to housing, but more, I think, important to the purview of the Plan Commission is the proposed changes to the demo code. We are starting to hear some questions and feedback about those proposed changes that I expect that you will hear. So just wanted to note that if you're interested, there's going to be a forum with the Vilas Neighborhood Association next Wednesday evening at 7. I'm sorry, this Wednesday evening, February 5th at 7 p.m. Which I believe will be open to the public. And then also next Monday at the Landmarks Commission meeting, that's Monday, February 10th at 5 p.m. Both of those meetings will include presentations and discussion Q&A about those proposed changes to the demolition ordinance and may just be of interest to you as you prepare for our discussion on February 17th.
Commissioner Heck.
Thank you. Megan, do you know if the Vilas Neighborhood Association meeting will be recorded?
Great question. I don't know the answer to that, but I could probably quickly ask the organizer and get back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Any other, Megan, anything else on your list or any other questions for Megan from the commission? All right. I think, does anyone have any announcements on our agenda? And if not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. All right. Commissioner Solheim, thank you. Alder Field, thank you for the second. Thanks for the meeting tonight, and we'll see you all next Thursday in 3D. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Have a good evening. Thank you.